The All Arizona Daily Download.
The top five local stories of the day.
Now. Five.
Arpaio turns his signatures in and yells.
Yeah, Arpaio held a news conference today. The former sheriff saying he is ready to run for U.S. Senate. God help us all. But he needed signatures, and he got them. So he says he's officially on the ballot, and then he started talking.
I haven't checked my clothes or my underwear, but I bet any amount of money nothing says made in the good old United States. So his policies about tariffs, international trade, I agree with.
All right, Mac, turn around. Let's see the underwear. What's the tag say? Is it made in the USA? Let's everybody check. Lloyd?
They're too old. I can't. It's rubbed off.
Mine says, read anywhere. Mine says made in the USA.
Oh, good.
Lloyd, what do you have? Is your underwear made in the USA?
What underwear?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's disgusting.
TMI.
The former sheriff is running for... God, I can't unsee that. Former U.S. Senator Jeff Flake seat.
Let's just play some more audio from Arpaio and try and recover.
I gave you my story and what I believe in. Anybody else?
This is a basic question. Do you know what a tariff is?
Do you know what a tariff is?
I know what tariffs are, but I'm not here to do a history to educate you on what a tariff is, okay?
They said, do you know what a tariff is? And apparently he has no idea. That's something you should probably know when going for United States Senate.
But Lloyd, he knows where his underwear is.
Lloyd, get out. You're done.
Four.
Ducey dines with the president.
Yeah, last night.
How are we supposed to talk about food after that?
I'm not. I can't. The governor dined at the White House, joining the governors for a discussion of border security with the president. Mm. And... the video released by the White House showed Trump at the head of the table, of course.
Yeah.
Ducey seated to the president's right.
How about that? What happens if, like, by accident, you kick the president under the table?
You just say, excuse me.
Do you say, excuse me, Mr. President, I didn't mean to do that.
Right,
but then he might start playing footsie with you. I mean, you never really know.
Or Secret Service just tackles you for attacking the president.
It was interesting that... someone from the dinner said the governor was talking, Governor Ducey was talking about illegal immigration. And what was the quote that we had, that the border is wide open and
wide
unprotected?
Open. Unprotected.
And that's what Governor Ducey basically said to President Trump.
After
the fantastic piece of cake.
No. After they sent National Guard troops down. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's unprotected.
I think it's smart. The governor should go there and tell him it's terrible. It's a disaster, as Trump likes to say.
Yeah.
And then get Trump to send us some more people. Because, I mean, let's be honest. The president sent National Guard troops to the Arizona-Mexico border, and Arizona's not paying for it.
Right.
So if Ducey says, hey, it's bad, maybe we'll get some more stuff for free. I think it's a good move.
Three.
The number three story on the All-Arizona Daily Download. D-backs are ice cold.
Set and the pitch. Swinging a fly ball deep to center field. Dyson going back, still going back. He's to the fence. He looks up. It is gone.
So, I mean, normally we don't talk sports, but I think you have to bring up the Arizona Diamondbacks today because they started the season red hot, but now they've lost 5 in a row and 11 of 12. So they're in second place now, a half game out of first, and I got to tell you, I think that's pretty good considering their two best players are really bad this year.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. And I mean, that's the big question. How do you start so hot and everybody takes notice? I mean, they were on national, you know, sports shows of, wow, the Diamondbacks are so hot. They're doing so well. And then you just turn ice cold.
Well,
is that inside the locker room? Is it inside the clubhouse? Or is it something like psychologically they're in their heads?
Nah, you just have ups and downs in a baseball
season.
Yeah,
but to this degree, this is a title shift from how they started.
Well, put it this way. Their best pitcher, Zach Greinke, is 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy makes like $1 million a pitch.
Right.
Paul Goldschmidt, my close personal former friend that I had to break up with.
Right.
Romance ended because he was hitting so poorly, and I thought it was my fault. He's still hitting 201.
It was your fault.
It was not.
It was. You jinxed him. You totally jinxed him.
It may have been my fault.
Yeah.
Two.
Sex trafficking hubs are not where you think.
When you think of sex trafficking, you may think to yourself, I don't even know what that is. We're talking about women who are sold for prostitution every night here in the Valley.
Yeah, but where in the Valley?
Just after 11 o'clock, when most of the valley is asleep, 27th Avenue between Indian School and Northern starts to come alive. Dozens of women walking the streets selling sex for money.
This is an interesting report from 12 News. In this report, you know how that website Backpage...
Yeah, Backpage.com got shut down.
It got shut down because, I guess...
Well, they were facilitating sex trafficking.
Well, the women said that was safer.
It's safer to be on a website because
yes.
you can make... You book can make your, a client, right.
Book your client online.
Right.
That was safer, they say.
Right.
Now they've got to go back to the streets to do it. I kind of understand that. But some of the places, I mean, this isn't just like Van Buren.
Well,
this is,
that was the old... That's the old joke. That's right. The old joke is prostitutes walk Van Buren. No. It could be in your neighborhood.
Correct. Up and down, different types of neighborhood at different types of night.
Right. Mesa, West Valley, Chandler.
On Arizona Avenue near Ray Road.
Right.
Women walking up and down the street selling sex for money.
One.
Wrong way drivers pass out.
Get this. We've heard of wrong way drivers here in the Valley. We've got a big problem.
And usually it ends horribly.
But Gilbert police say a 23-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence after a wrong way driving incident. Someone saw this guy driving the wrong way at 1 in the morning on Tuesday. The witness reported it. The officers, you know, hot pursuit, right? They find the car stopped facing the wrong way on the highway. The driver is passed out, and so is the idiot sitting next to him in the passenger seat.
So the officers actually woke up the driver, arrested him on suspicion of, you know, driving under the influence. And drugs and drug paraphernalia, not surprising, were also located in the vehicle. But how weird is it that both the passenger and the driver passed out?
It's unbelievable.
And didn't kill anybody, didn't run off the road and kill themselves. They pulled over, parked the wrong way, they both passed out.
No crash, no injuries reported here. Now, since the beginning of this year, there have been, you know, at least a dozen wrong-way driving incidents, including multiple deadly tragedies and
crashes.
Well, we
were talking last week about, SR 347. We talked to a woman who was almost hit by a wrong-way driver.
She saw the lights coming at her, and she had to get out of the way.
Absolutely.
You got to be careful on the highways after midnight, because that's when this happens.
The All Arizona Daily Download. The top five local stories of the day with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The All Arizona Daily Download brought to you by Inspire Sleep. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire, a revolutionary treatment for sleep apnea. No mask, no hose, and no noise. Go to inspiresleep.com today.
You've been talking about the school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. Well, one man says the way to stop school shootings is to never train your kid to use a gun in the first place. I wonder how that's going to go out here in Arizona. We're going to talk to this man next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
In light of the Santa Fe high school shooting in Texas, one of the big questions is, how do you predict a teenager? Can a teenager, will a teenager shoot up a school? What are the signs? Well, one man says the way to stop school shootings is to never train your child to use a gun in the first place. Let's talk to Steve Gomez, ABC News consultant and former FBI special agent. Steve, how are you today?
Thank you for having me.
Steve, I know that especially out here in Arizona, this is going to be pretty controversial, and you've acknowledged it's kind of an extreme step. But you're saying stop children and teens from having access to guns and gun training. That will help stop school shootings. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. So I come from an environment where, you know, former law enforcement, 25 years in law enforcement, LAPD, and then the FBI for 22 years. So we're accustomed to having guns. I have four children. I have a lot of friends that are cops, agents that have children. And pretty much everybody takes the tact of they want to expose their children to gun safety, and they take them to the range and teach them how to shoot because the kids see that their parents carry guns and they're very curious.
Right.
The problem I see, though, is that in this day and age, with all these school shootings and the copycatting and social media and the internet, the children are no longer capable of being mature enough and exhibiting impulse control to where you can't guarantee that every kid that has been given access and training with a gun is not going to have a bad day and then go get a gun and walk into a school and shoot people. Now, I'm not saying every kid is going to do that.
Right.
But we don't know who's going to do it. And quite frankly, I am so sick and tired of hearing about how nobody thought that it would happen at this school. Nobody thought that that kid would ever do this. Nobody ever thought that that kid would bring a gun into the school. I'm sorry. Nobody really knows that until it actually happens. And we have to take some extreme measures. And yeah, I got a lot of friends that will probably look at me like, you're crazy for saying that, but we have to do something. Because quite frankly, I've got a daughter who's in freshman at high school, and there's no way I'm going to allow anything to happen to my daughter or her friends or anybody at that school.
Steve Gomez, ABC News consultant, former FBI special agent. Steve has put out a number of things that maybe law enforcement, maybe you as a parent could do to make sure that your children are safe, or that you could recognize maybe before a shooter decides to shoot up a high school. Steve, you just described of never train your kid to use a gun. Well, I guess you're assuming that most parents wouldn't do it the right way, or are you assuming that most children wouldn't be able to assume the responsibility of handling a gun? I just can't follow you on that line of thinking. Can you go down that road a little bit more?
Absolutely. Let me give you an example. Okay, I'm not going to say the names, but I know two people. They were a married couple. They both law enforcement, two kids. These are two excellent law enforcement officers, showed their kids gun safety, you know, showed them how to shoot and so on. And one day, one of those parents came home and found their kid dead on the floor because the kid had access to the gun, was doing something with the gun. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't suicide. It was just an accident. And they had thought that that kid had been trained and shown enough safety with that gun to where something like that could never happen. And I can't tell you the pain and suffering with that family and everybody around them. You know, we all felt it because we're all law enforcement. We were thinking, wow, they had done everything right. And even then, that was an accident. Now you throw in kids that are, you know, having mental health issues, personal issues, and so on. And they have access to the gun. Parents can't guarantee that their kid isn't going to one day take that gun that they had trained them with, maybe showed them how to go hunting and so on, and they're going to do something with it. There is no 100% guarantee. And given what we are seeing, 10, 20, you know, school shootings in the last year, you know, where hundreds of, you know, so many people dying and being injured. We can't have that. We are not living in the time that we were before all these school shootings has occurred. So that's why I'm saying that's a classic example. And there are more examples. Here's another thing. How many law enforcement officers have accidental discharges where they made a mistake with their gun? Yeah. I mean, there's so many mistakes that can occur. So you just can't assume that kids that are under 18, and I'm talking about, like, you know, let's set an age, let's say 18, maybe some people would argue 21, but at the very minimum, set 18. You can't take your kids hunting. You can't take them to the firing range. You can't give them access to the gun. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, see, that's where I was going, or that's what I was going to ask you about, Steve. It just sounds so severe. You know, the baby and the bathwater all get thrown out. You could make the same argument for cars then. How many kids get keys to a car and wind up dying behind the wheel or making a mistake and getting into an accident? I just think it's too much of an overreach to say kids should not have access to at least training. I'm not saying give the kid a gun, but at least train the kid to know what safety is and safety isn't. And you're right. You're going to have instances of kids having access to a gun and either doing something horrible, you know, like killing themselves or killing somebody else safety wise. But I think there's got to be a better way to address this than just say, boom, no guns until you're 18. Because there are a lot of dads out there and there are a lot of people out there that say, I want my kid to know how to do this.
Especially in Arizona.
Especially in Arizona, yeah. You know, you also mentioned that what the kid posted online. I think we could go down that road a lot easier and it would be a lot more fruitful than just saying, no guns until you're 18 or until you get training as an adult.
Well, let me say a couple of things. One is that I am a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. There is no way that I am in favor of anybody saying that I can't have a gun at my house, or any citizen that doesn't have a conviction for having a gun at their house to be able to protect their home if somebody tries to break in. So I want to make sure that that is on the record, and that is, I am firm on that. And if somebody tried to take the Second Amendment away, I'm going to be the biggest advocate of turning that down. Okay, so that's one thing. So so as far as the kids, just being trained, the question we have to ask is, why does a kid at 15, 16, 17 need to have a gun, or need to be trained with a gun?
To go hunt.
Know how to
shoot. Go hunt, to be with his dad, to learn about the outdoors, to maybe feed his family down the road.
That's a very valid reason, and I really have no objection to that. But again, I bring it back to what is happening in this world right now. What is happening in our country? We are having school shootings. So I'm not saying we take all the guns away. I'm saying let's put some parameters on this. And also, this is not the only solution.
Okay. Let's leave it at that for a second. Right now we're talking with Steve Gomez, ABC News consultant, former FBI special agent. What else can be done? What can parents do to make sure their child's school is safe? What steps could you do? Could everybody else do?
Very interesting that Steve brings up a couple of things, and we'll ask him about that.
We'll do it next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, we continue our conversation with Steve Gomez. He is joining us, as he did in the last segment, ABC News consultant and former FBI special agent. We talked last segment, Steve, about how you think one way to stop these school shootings is to never train your kid to use a gun in the first place. Pretty controversial, but, you know, how else do we keep our kids safe? How else do we keep our schools safe? Steve, it's not just one thing, right?
I have been talking about a holistic approach that has to be taken into account, starting with you have to look at the school campuses. You can't have open school campuses. You have to have a configuration to where there is at least one or two entrances and exits, to where there then could be some security professionals who are observing the kids coming in and out, looking for suspicious activity, looking for bags, maybe confronting certain people if they think that they need to confront them. Maybe have some metal detectors there. That way the kids will realize, hey, the school is serious about safety, or even some metal detecting wands that they can move around. Because I'll tell you right now, you do that one or two times, and the kids are going to realize, you know, hey, I'm not bringing a gun into that school, because they're going to have to detect it. Now, they may come up with some other weird way that they may want to commit their insane attack.
Right.
And most importantly, the threat assessment procedure. This, to me, is the most important way that we try to prevent this from happening. And it goes back to 9/11. After 9/11, I was in the FBI. I began to work counterterrorism, because they shifted everybody over to the counterterrorism program. And the thing that Director Mueller at the time said was, no stone goes unturned, which means that any information that we received about a potential terrorist, we would investigate, give it a fair shake, vet it, and see if there's a threat. The same thing has to be done here with schools. They have to have a procedure in place to where people can provide information, which we have now seen in the last couple of days, which is very impressive. The students are rising up, and they're speaking out, and there's been some action. I think in Texas there were a number of arrests that took place. These are the kinds of things that have to happen. You've got to have a process to where information is flowing in, and then you have to have action by the schools, the administrators, law enforcement, parents, health officials, and counselors, to try to figure out, okay, we received information from this individual, and now we got to look at, you know, okay, are they a problem? Are they a threat? Do we contact the parents? Do we ask the parents about what this kid is going through? Do we ask the parents, do you have guns in this house? Has this kid been trained on how to use a gun? Have they been to the firing range? Do they have the capability?
We're talking with Steve Gomez, ABC News consultant and former FBI special agent. Who does the assessment from the school, though?
Okay, the school has to have some people, and whether it's people on staff. At my daughter's school, there's a vice principal who's in charge of security. He has SROs that are assigned to the school. Now, if the SROs are not in a position, if the vice principal is not in a position, you hire private investigators. I'm a licensed private investigator in the state of California. I know how you deal with these type of situations. I've been hired by parents and by other people to deal with these type of situations involving students that were being threatened when they didn't know what to do. And in one case, there was a school, and there was a girl who was supposed to go to a prom, and her ex-boyfriend was threatening her and saying he was going to go to the prom. Mm. The school was doing nothing until we were contacted by the parents, and then we went over to the school and explained to them what we were going to do, which was we're going to do surveillance on the girl the whole time during prom and make sure that she is safe and, okay. and secured. And nothing's going to happen. So these are the kinds of things that are out there. If the school has to contract with some private security, so be it. If they have to coordinate with law enforcement and see if law enforcement can help, absolutely. You do what you have to do to make sure there is no threat, or if there is, you take care of it. You address it.
Steve Gomez, ABC News consultant, former FBI special agent. Last one. You mentioned that the Santa Fe shooting is a game changer. What did you mean by that?
I said to myself, and I talked to a lot of parents on the soccer field this Saturday where my daughter plays, and all of us are fed up. We're all like, this cannot happen. And I said, you cannot wait for the federal government and the state government to do something.
True.
You as parents, we all as parents have to mobilize. We got to get over to our school. We got to find out, okay, who's in charge of security? How many SROs do we have? Do we have any? How many security professionals are assigned here? Is there a school safety committee like my daughter's school has? And I found out about that after Parkland, and I immediately joined. So now I'm on the school safety committee. And those are the kinds of things that parents have to do. They have to ask the hard questions and not assume that their daughter or son, when they go to school, that they're going to be safe. That's just not the equation anymore.
Hey, Steve.
It's a completely different world.
Steve, with all due respect, you're an FBI agent. I'm a dad. What can I do? If I want to join a school safety committee, I don't know anything about school safety. I mean, I love the fact that you want parents to get involved, but you're an FBI agent. I'm not. What can I do as a regular guy?
So what you can do is, first of all, you got to engage and you got to get involved. Okay. Now, if you don't know the questions to ask, go to your local police department. They have community outreach people with local law enforcement and even with the FBI. There are a lot of people out there that are designed to interact with the public. That's part of their job at the FBI, community outreach. Talk to them. Ask them, what are the issues? Look it up online. Look for those questions. That article that we put out through ABC News, it was designed to provide as much information for parents and school officials to look at and to see what are the red flag indicators, what are the processes. And that's why I love doing these interviews, because I want to try to get as much information to the public as possible so they can be educated as best as they can. So then, just like you said, what do I look for? What should I ask? Here's the information. There are plenty of people out there. You can contact a private security official, a private investigator who's got law enforcement experience. And these are the kinds of things that they are dealing with, especially if they are trained and are specialists at threat management. Mm-hmm. Talk to people that are experts in threat assessments and threat management, because those are the ones that know what to look for. You are looking for, is the school vulnerable? Where is it vulnerable? Are there threats to the school? What kind of threats? What are the risks to this school? Those are the kinds of questions that you have to ask and get some answers to. And you want to make sure that the school is doing the same type of thing, asking those same questions, coming up with those same solutions.
Steve Gomez, he's ABC News consultant and former FBI special agent. Make sure you check out his article on abcnews.com. It is excellent. Steve, good stuff. Thanks so much. We appreciate the insight.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
I think we got a lot of information over the last 20 or 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And we didn't even go down the road of scanning social media. Are you aware of what your kid is posting online, what their friends may be posting online? We didn't even touch on that, but good stuff. If you missed any of the interview, this segment or last segment, Mac and Gatos On Demand. Don't miss any of the show on the KTAR News app, KTAR.com, or you can subscribe to our podcast at the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone. Anything you miss, you can always get it, Mac and Gatos On Demand.
All everybody wants to do is talk about guns or mental illness, and we can do that, but I think you also have to talk about parenting. Because no law was going to stop this kid in Texas from doing what he did. His parents could have stopped him. And his dad is a bad dad. Because dad had the guns out there. Dad didn't check social media. And this kid went and killed people. I mean, that's what happened.
And dad is blaming the school now.
Which is chicken blank.
Yeah, it is. It's weak.
It really is. Of course it is.
We'll talk about that coming up as well in the show. But it's just, talk about pointing the blame at somebody. And I feel for the dad. I mean, his son did a horrible thing. I get it. But you can't immediately kick back with, well, it's the school's fault.
Yeah, because I what I'd say to Dad is, when's the last time you checked out his social media? You know, he's a pig on social media, right?
Why did you let him wear a trench coat every day or have this fascination with Columbine? Did you even know he was fascinated by Columbine?
Did you lock your guns up? Because if you didn't, and you left it, you know, laying on the table.
Or said, go ahead and borrow it at any time.
Right. You're a pretty bad dad. You're not
irresponsible.
You're not taking care of your kid.
Right.
So you don't need a law. You didn't need a law to stop this shooting. All you needed was a parent that actually paid attention to their child,
which is so important.
So important. All right. Coming up next, President Trump. It's a pretty curious statement he made today about the summit and the talks that should happen between North Korea and the United States. What was that curious statement that he made? Well, we'll play it for you next. You can hear it. Stick around.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
So the president today is meeting with the South Korean president, Moon Jae-in.
Wrong.
Wrong what? He's not meeting, or did I mispronounce the president of
I just love
South
when you start
Korean.
Talking about Trump, and I can just say that one word.
Okay.
It honestly makes me happy.
Yeah. And I honestly know it does. I mean, that's the thing. I can honestly see it in your face.
I interrupt you, which is awesome.
Which throws me off.
Throws
which makes
you off.
Happy.
It makes me happy. What can I say?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
The United States and South Korea are insisting that the North give up their nukes. Mm. North Korea has been a little bit of a toddler lately, saying, well, we're canceling the South Korean meeting. And who knows? Maybe we won't go to the summit with America in Singapore. So Donald Trump, the president, was asked about that today, and he gave a very curious answer.
Yeah, we're going to play this for you in a second because obviously I have to find it first.
Mm, okay, that would always be good, yeah, in order to have it. Yeah.
Keep talking while I find
it. Okay, so you've got 3 weeks before the planned summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and the president.
Mm-hmm.
The president today is hosting South Korea's president for talks as they work, you know, towards some kind of common goal, which is the denuclearization of Korea, the Korean Peninsula.
Found it.
And they have to assess whether North Korea's commitment to rid itself of its nuclear program is genuine. So the president was asked today, hey, what's going on with the summit?
If it doesn't happen, maybe it'll happen later. Maybe it'll happen at a different time. But we will see.
We will see. Question.
Mac in the back room.
Back row.
Back row.
Back room.
Back room is weird.
Yeah.
Oh, Becky Lynn, don't look at me.
Is
back in the back corner. That's weird, too.
Is Donald Trump, was that a honest answer, or is he playing a game with Kim Jong-un?
Playing a game with Kim Jong-un.
All right, why?
Because Kim Jong-un, if he wants to be a little bit, well, maybe we'll meet, maybe we'll cancel it. Donald Trump's doing the same thing. Hey, maybe we'll meet, maybe we'll cancel it. You know, maybe it'll happen at a different time. This thing is totally going down on June 12th. It's happening. I mean, I guarantee
it. Stone cold lock.
Stone cold 100% lock, believe me.
In Singapore.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way Kim Jong-un pulls out of this. There's no way. He does not want to tick off Donald Trump. He's scared Donald Trump's going to nuke him.
But then why would Trump say, we'll see?
Because
I mean, that sounds to me like we can't convince Kim Jong-un to show up.
No, I just think they're playing a game in the public.
Okay.
I think what you're seeing is Kim Jong-un, he wants to be respected on his way to this meeting. He wants to be tough. He doesn't want to just show up and give everybody flowers.
Okay.
You know, I think he wants to be kind of a pill on the way there. But he wants to get something done. Kim Jong-un wants a meeting with Trump. This is what he's always wanted. The whole world is going to watch. Kim Jong-un, there's no way he's pulling out of this.
The White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, who wasn't wearing any makeup today, she went from basically a lot looking like a raccoon to eyeliner, no eyeshadow.
They were talking about all that garbage on all the cable stations. Why isn't she wearing makeup? Why is she wearing makeup? She wears too much. Who cares? Go ahead.
I do.
No, you don't.
If she wants to be beautiful, she has to work at it. She has to love herself first.
It's just that simple, and I don't think she does. She's just given up. The White House press secretary said it was something that the administration fully expected. Okay, if you fully expect it, then why put the doubt in anybody else's mind with we'll see? Why not just say, hey, we're going to get this done. We're going to show up June 12th, and we're confident Kim Jong-un's going to be there, too.
It's great reality TV.
Hmm. Good point.
It makes people just...
People are in doubt. They're like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, it gets people on the edge of their chair. Geez, I wonder if it's going to happen. Oh, what if it doesn't happen? Oh, I want to see this show. I want to see Trump on. Here's the president.
There's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it won't work out over a period of time. But it may not work out for June 12th.
He's giving himself
wait a minute. Wait,
He's
wait,
giving
wait.
Himself a little bit of an out, too.
Yeah, why would you say it may not work out, but it might work out, but it could, but it might not? I'm not sure. Again, it just sounds so... Like, do you even have a meeting spot in Singapore, or did you just throw a dart on a map and Singapore was the country it landed on?
No, there's a Trump Tower in Singapore.
Oh, come on,
there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it won't work out over a period of time, but it may not work out for June 12th.
He likes to keep people guessing. Trump is saying... Maybe it'll be June 12th. It will be June 12th. I'm not sure if it's going to be June 12th.
Right.
If it's not June 12th, it could be a little bit later. Maybe, maybe not.
Right. I understand why Un's doing it. I don't understand why our president's doing it.
Playing the same game. Playing the same game. All right. Coming up next. Should parents boycott their children's schools until the country's gun laws are changed? Coming up next.